This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
This is the Broadway Boys Podcast through the Hockey Podcast Network, and we are back with Season 3, Episode 65, as the New York Rangers have tied the series at 2. We head to Carolina for Game 5. I'm a little bit nervous. Carolina has not lost at home. I don't know what to make of this. I cannot believe we're in this position. There's a lot to talk about, and I'm just glad I'm here with Andy to kind of break it all down. So, Andy, how are you doing, my friend?
Never a doubt that the Rangers would tie it up and make this a competitive series. Never a doubt in my mind. No, I'm kidding. Doing good, man. Great victory last night. Convincing victory, I'll say. Talk about Jekyll and Hyde between the road and home performances of the Hurricanes. I mean, they still get their chances, but they don't. And I've, you know, listening to various hockey daily radio and pundits and panels and intermission reports and all this stuff, everyone just, they can't seem to figure out why Carolina gives up some, you know, even though it's like if you look at the on paper, like it seems like they still generate the lion's share of chances like they usually do, because that's their style, is just to throw the puck from everywhere and get zone time and generate it. But it's just like they can't, I you just don't see the belief in them on the road that they have at home. And, you know, obviously if not for a Kako missed open net, the Rangers are just need one more to eliminate them, right? You know, but so that's the thing. And I think you and I talked about it, just this, if for whatever reason, you know, I was scared shitless the entire series versus the Penguins at all moments. But it just, considering how much of the season I was scared by the Hurricanes, and then how much in the first round I was scared, well, if we somehow miraculously beat the Penguins and survive this, then we have to play the Hurricanes. They don't really scare me right now. You know, and listen, they have good players. They have a good coach and a good system, and they generate good chances, and they have a good goaltender. It just doesn't scare me. They don't have that X factor that kind of scares. And I just think you just see the Rangers getting better and better and better. And, you know, obviously at that, like I said, Carolina's a good team and they're going to get their chances, but outside of maybe in the last two games, the Rangers had, I thought they were pretty good defensively the first game. Igor's only given up one goal in each game, and I would say the goal on tonight was more of a breakdown. It wasn't, there's nothing he could do on this night, but everything he had to stop or and grade A chances, he stopped. So he's looking much, if he was indeed rattled or a little bit injured from the Carter collision, he doesn't look it right now. And this team just looks like they're slowly gaining more confidence in themselves. Kreider and Zibanejad continue to finally show up, which is great. Ryan Lindgren might be the unsung hero of this entire playoff so far. You know, talk about the spark. How great was he last night? Just and doing this all on one leg. You know, it's whenever we finally hear what he's playing through, it's going to be miraculous. He's going to be like, yeah, I don't have a foot right now. It's like, but it's all right. We you know, made a cast out of paper mache and kind of stuck a little screw in it. So, you know, but yeah, this is a team that looks like they're starting to believe. And obviously it's the hope that kills you. So that's the scary thing.
Yeah, listen, it's kind of crazy that the New York Rangers have put themselves in this position and they're getting the play that they're getting out of some of the key players. And this is what I think most Ranger fans kind of expected. Like, it's not going to be Rangers put up 6 goals every night, right? It's the playoffs. You're going to have ups and downs. And, you know, for the New York Rangers, though, and you even said this multiple times, and I've certainly felt this way, that the Rangers have never... I never felt like the Rangers were just getting beat. I always felt like we're beating ourselves. We can play better than this. This is not the other team taking it to us. This is us just refusing to skate, refusing to move our legs in the corner and draw penalties, and, you know, refusing to shoot the puck instead of, you know, making, you know, two extra bonehead passes that, you know, one gets picked or, you know, it just misfired and now it's behind the play and they pick it up and they turn and go the other way. It just, you know, you watch this team and to be honest, though, I missed the first two periods. So this is, I kind of wanted to ask you, I had a baptism class and I was checking my Apple Watch for the score. And I honestly thought, because I haven't worn my Apple Watch in a while, that it was picking up an old score. Because I saw 2-0 after one. And I'm like, nope, this is reading a score from the last time I wore it. This cannot be happening. They're up 2-0. But then I was like, well, look at me, just being a soldier of God here. He's rewarding me. But, you know, for me to look at this game and kind of watch the replay and you kind of just see the Rangers are finding their own. And I think it's more on the defensive side of the puck more than anything. I mean, they're limiting chances to one and done, right? They're really good at, all right, you know, Igor makes a key save. Let's gather the puck and get it out. They really only get in trouble when they're hemmed in their zone for, you know, for multiple shifts in a row. And, you know, the Rangers have kind of limited that from what I saw. And, you know, I kind of wanted to start this podcast off and kind of ask you, Andy, last night's game, the first and second period, you know, I looked it up. I kind of tried to get a feel for how they played, but I think it's pretty easy for people to say they played well after they solidified the win. So, you know, from your perspective, you know, they're up 2-0 after the first, 3-0 after the second. How did it really go in terms of play? You know, did that score kind of match the effort? And you know, what did you think?
Yeah, no, it absolutely did. I think both teams were, the pace was the fastest of any of the games in the first. I think it's the fastest I've seen the Rangers probably play all playoffs, which surprised me. But Gallant had made a comment about he liked the fact that he thought it was a good thing that it was getting nasty. He's like, because we're going to get focused. And that's kind of exactly what happened. I mean, the Rangers were going. Yeah, it just was. It was a very evenly matched first period, I thought. Obviously, the biggest difference was the Rangers power play is potent. It has been all year. It is potent in the postseason. And the Carolina Hurricanes is absolute doo-doo and lost, especially on the road. And obviously there was a Trouba hit on Domi, which I assume you've seen by now.
Yes.
He just absolutely bodied him. And again, Domi blows a tire right as Trouba's coming at him. So he's lower and then Trouba just finishes his check. And, you know, not to segue too hard here, but everyone's like, oh, well, you know, Trouba's got a history of this now. Well, many times does this have to keep happening? But unfortunately, and listen, I have time if you're like, you know, I understand this is by letter of the law, this is a clean hit, but, you know, guys are still getting hurt or going to get hurt because of this and we have to change it. I have all the time in the world for that. But unfortunately, by letter of the law, players today are told, you know, finish your checks no matter what. And Domi, whether he's trying to avoid Trouba or whatever, like quickly like stop up, it caused him to blow a tire, and then Trouba just has to finish his hit, and he does, and he goes right through Domi, and obviously there's head contact there because he's literally driving, but Trouba doesn't leave his skates until well after contact, and he falls down as well. He's trying to drive through him shoulder first, obviously, as you do on a hit, and Domi, because he's blown a tire, ends up mid-length, and he's a smaller guy anyway, and that's the result we got. But obviously he was okay, he played the rest of the game, no ill effects. And then Trouba's, and I don't even, you know, obviously it was the right call that the Rangers getting the subsequent power play because of the instigator. But I also understand, you know, there's a lot said of like, oh, you can't, you know, why does a guy have to defend himself, you know, after a clean hit? Well, that obviously looked really bad in real time. It looked like he absolutely destroyed him. And he did, obviously, but. You know, we didn't have the benefit of seeing the fact that Domi, unfortunately, loses an edge prior to the hit. And that's why he was in the position he was in. And Trouba just absolutely, you know, trucks him. So, but yeah, the Rangers were physically bringing it to the Canes. And they're just, you just saw Carolina has played like this all year, just like up, you know, quick up, quick and down. But the Rangers had fire in their bellies during that first period. You saw it. And that's just kind of how it played out, you know. throughout the game. You know, obviously Carolina had a push in the third and the Rangers were defending a little too much. And they finally get a goal. And then Gallant says, Ferraro makes a comment that Gallant goes to his bench and in no certain terms says, get, you know, let's get, like, stop watching the game and get back into it. Like, start playing. And they do. And then Kopp gets a goal. And, you know, so
yeah, it was a huge commercial timeout for the Rangers. They needed some sort of break to kind of slow things down in their own mind.
Yeah. But again, just the body line. And they even comment, I forget who it was. Maybe it was not Ferraro, but on the intermission, they were commentating on just the shitty body language by a lot of the Hurricane skaters. Their power play was abysmal. They could weren't even shooting the puck. The Rangers had the best chance shorthanded on all their, you know, the most dangerous power play chance, you know, for the Canes wasn't even theirs. It was the Rangers shorthanded. So yeah, it just, you just saw the frustration and the lack of body language. And again, we spoke about this, the Rangers are, you know, obviously you've got guys like Jordan Staal and whoever it was. I keep forgetting the guy who tried to fight Truba. You know, you have Jordan Staal and you have Svechnikov, who's a bigger body, and him and Laf going at it was awesome. But the Rangers are a bigger team and they were handling, you know, at least physically. And Carolina's got a lot of speedy, smaller guys. They've got, you know, Nietzsche, who is tall but stringy, and Domi, and Aho, again, who's kind of a, you know, wiry guy. And the Rangers have a little bit more beef on them. And, you know, I just, it's definitely made a big difference in this series as opposed to some of those big, you know, forwards that the Penguins have that were kind of just, you know, handling the Rangers in the first round. So, yeah, James, I think to answer your question, it kind of played out how you saw it. You know, I think for the most part, the Rangers were just kind of, even though they don't, just as a team, they just don't generate as much maybe quantity as Carolina does. But, you know, if you look at all the Rangers goals, I mean, or throughout the series, a lot of them are from the slot this series, which is something that they were having a hard time doing. You know what I mean? It's obviously they had the one on the power play, but then some good cross passes and Fox activating to go down low to cause, because they play that man-on-man system, and it just created some disarray and chaos. And then Lindgren gets a puck on net, and his D partner Fox tips it, and they link up for the goal, which was awesome. And then Lindgren out again, just jumping in the rush, getting it on net. Mika going right to the net. It squeaks through a leaky Ranta, and he puts in the net. So yeah, Mika continues to show up. Kreider, I hope he got, I didn't look to see if he got a secondary assist, but on the Lindgren, or on the Fox goal, you know, Kreider goes to take a shot. His stick explodes like a pool noodle. And then he just kind of, he literally on camera, you see him just shrug his shoulders, go, you know, go fuck. And then he just quickly winds his boot up and he kicks the puck into the corner. So the Rangers have time to get there to win a battle. And then they win the battle, even though Carolina gets to the puck first, they get it back. They give it to a Trent Lindgren, who just kind of sails in the zone and puts it on net. Fox gets a stick on it, tips right into the upper corner. And that's what it's all about. So, you know, and Kreider was just handling Aho behind the net. Aho couldn't really do anything because Kreider is, built like a linebacker. So he just kind of had to get a defensive position. So it's just, yeah, clearly just this team is getting better and better and more confident. And this is what I wanted, James, because again, I think you and I have maintained that the winning is awesome and we live for it as fans, but this is about the future. And this version we've been seeing of the New York Rangers, if this is their, how the type of play, even if they eventually they lose to Carolina in the series, if this is the type of play they go out on, I can live with that. Absolutely. Because you just see it just clicking. And I mean, on paper, a lot of these guys, it's like, it's, you know, this is still with Panarin clearly hurt and just not Panarin. They're doing all this without their best player being their best player. You know, they're getting key contributions from other guys. And Kako was on the fourth line for some reason. And Lafreniere,
well, he got a nice chance. Ice time on the fourth line. Go figure. He gets more ice time.
Well, yeah. And I mean, he tried, and he did take a shift or two here or there where Gallant was understandably would bump him up to play with the kids every now and then and put Mott back down. But, you know, Mott has a lot, that speed of Mott can turn over pucks for them. So I understand why. And they're like, Kako's a bigger body and they put a little bit more skill on the fourth line. So I get it.
Yeah, I had no problem with any of the playing time. In fact, I thought it was actually pretty even. If you look at, you know, the time on ice for that game, you know, it's kind of surprising. You know, no forward is over 20 minutes. I don't think any forward's over 19 minutes. I think he spread it out almost perfectly. And that's what you're going to have to do in these long, tough series. And, you know, it's funny, the lesser ice time the Mika line gets, the better they play, in my opinion. And
I'll make it real quick so you can get back to your point. But I just think everyone looked a little bit fresher. And I think, to your point, you're absolutely right. It's just helping everyone, because these series are a slog, especially if it's going to go the distance. And everyone just looked like they had a little bit more jump, probably because their ice time was much more managed. So continue. Sorry. Excuse me.
Yeah, no, and that's like my point. It's like these guys, they found a balance here. We can roll four lines, you know, and, you know, the Rangers, the key for the Rangers is to keep the game as simple as possible. They don't need to do the tic-tac-toe bullshit in the offensive zone. They get the puck in deep. They got to jump on it. Jump them. Jump their defensemen. You're stronger than them. You know, Kreider's going to win every single battle, 50-50 battle, because he's just a bigger guy. He's a better skater. And, you know, even a guy like Mika, beat him with your speed. Look at every single, you know, quick transition through the neutral zone or every loose puck that squirts out. We're faster than them and we're better than them. And we can do things when, you know, we force their defensemen to make stupid plays. That's how we get our offensive chances. And, you know, I'm thrilled that the Rangers have kind of officially, in my eyes, the last two games, they kind of bought into the idea that, listen, let's just outwork them and see what happens. And that's kind of the vibe that I'm getting. And if you're going to outwork them and you're going to be willing to muck it up in the corners and do the dirty work, you're going to win more games than you lose. Because let's face it, you know, the New York Rangers are one of those teams that the simpler that they play, I think, in my opinion, they have a better chance of winning and beating these teams like Carolina and Pittsburgh. And, you know, you look at the other teams left, you know, Tampa is the only team left in the East. But, you know, those teams are skilled. Those teams know how to win. But one of those things that if you can simplify the game and create chances just by doing the ugly stuff that those teams maybe don't want to do or not used to doing all season long, you're going to be successful. And listen, it's not always going to work. You're not always going to win every game, every period, every shift like that. But it gives you an opportunity. And when you have a goaltender playing as well as Igor, and you got it, you know, a young decor, you know, and you're getting really, you know, good play out of your young decor of, you know, Fox, Miller, and Schneider, and then you have the veteran guys, you know, and Trouba and Braun, and you know, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, listen, it can come together, and it has. And there's moments where you truly see it. And, you know, I'm just happy that the New York Rangers have finally, you know, found a little bit of a rhythm here. And, you know, I don't know what game five will bring. I mean, it's going to be tough. Carolina has not lost at home. They also haven't won on the road. So I don't know if they're looking at themselves like over questioning, you know, what they truly are. You know, I would certainly be confused if I'm in the Carolina locker room being like, listen, we were up 2-0 against Boston. You know, we're up 2-0 against the Rangers. They came back and pushed us, you know, they both pushed us around games 3 and 4. You know, like, is this happening again? Are we going to have to beat these idiots in 7? Like, there's got to be questioning and doubting. And, you know, again, you circle their power play, special teams will kill you. I don't care who you are. But if you're going 0-for every single night on your power play, you're probably not going to win a series. So the Rangers certainly have an opening here, Andy, and they got to take advantage of it. And, you know, I know we could probably say this for every game, but this truly is the biggest game of the season. And it's a pivotal game. You know, it's one of those where, you know, if the Rangers can pull this off and go home up 3-2 against, you know, the Carolina Hurricanes, you know, I think we could seal the deal. But, you know, if they lose again, it's going to be one of those gut-wrenching losses where you're like, oh, we could have had this team.
Hockey fans, the pursuit for the Stanley Cup is on. And DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer for the most exciting playoffs in all of sports. New customers can bet $5 on any team to win and get $100 in free bets no matter what, win or lose. Looking to turn a small bet into a big payday during the playoffs? With DraftKings same game parlays, you can do just that. Create your own parlay by combining multiple bets, like which team will win, how many goals will be scored, and more. It's your shot at an even bigger payout. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. And best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use promo code THPN, bet $5 on any NHL team to win, and get $100 in free bets no matter what. That's promo code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
How are you feeling going into game five? And, you know, what do you make of this Carolina only winning on home ice and losing on the road?
Yeah, well, that's the, you know, unfortunately, as it works out for the Rangers at home, but then the Carolina is like a different team at home. But that being said, the Rangers didn't really play that bad in the games one and two. They almost won game one. They were 2 minutes away. So, I mean, I think my hope is that this has shown the Rangers that, oh, like we can, they've imposed their game on us a little bit here, and now we can finally impose our game on them. Because I think the lack of finishing on Carolina has hurt them this postseason. And I think the Rangers are realizing that their physicality and their ability to slow the game down, they don't have to be so much in the track meet with this team. Obviously, it makes it difficult for them at times to break the puck out, but just there's these little things, like you said, simple things they can do to get Carolina out of their flow, because when they're in that flow state of just quick up the ice, quick back to the partner, quick to this guy streaking, quick in the zone, quick to the boards, quick puck retrieval. Yeah, then that's when Carolina's at their best and it's putting the Rangers on its heels. But you just saw that the Rangers using their physicality and just holding on to more pucks in the neutral zone and just trying to skate it into the zone and skate it through the zone or skate out of their own end or just holding on to it for that extra second and just making sure there's support. And then forcing just some of Carolina's defenders to kind of collapse. It's made such a difference, because unlike the Bruins, who obviously have the perfection line in that, but you didn't have to really, and you obviously Taylor Hall, you just didn't really have to, there wasn't, you know, there's maybe four or five guys in the Bruins total you had to worry about being able to put the puck in the net. But with the Rangers, you have to worry about Kopp. You have to worry about Vetrano. You have to worry about Panarin. You have to worry about Zibanejad. You have to worry about Kreider. You have to worry about Lafreniere. You have to worry about Hedl now. You know what I mean? And you have to worry about Adam Fox. And, you know, hell, even Trouba has had his moments to see. And just, you just, there's just more finishing talent on the Rangers. So, and I think that is kind of in the back of their mind. And, you know, you've definitely seen that, whereas at home, it's really helped the Rangers with the matchups of they were able to get. And so instead of having Jordan Staal out there shutting down Zibanejad and then putting Aho on Panarin and using his speed on the Panarin line, it's almost like they've mixed it, and then they've tried to match up Kopp, you know, at times, although they've now reverted back to their OG lines minus Mott in the Kako spot. But it's just like the damage has been kind of been done. You know what I mean? Is that they've, and it seemed that it kind of apexed in this last game here, where everyone had played 20 minutes and they were able to get just different lines out when they wanted to. And I think from a bench management standpoint and just from a X's and O's standpoint, it was probably the best game the Rangers have played, even though they still got out chance, because that's just who the Rangers are. They're like, we're not going to go for the quantity. It's just not in our blood. We're going for the quality, and Turk lets us free associate. So even though we don't get into this methodical pace, it's, we saw from Carolina, it was just like a Rube Goldberg machine, but then it just ends with a medium danger chance, and that's it. And Igor just says, I see it, it's over. You know what I mean? Whereas the Rangers, yes, it's sometimes annoying, but you see them, their offense is becoming a little more and more direct as the postseason goes on for them. And it's working. You see it. You see more shots from the slot. You see more guys cashing in on rebounds there. You see more jamming away, which then causes Carolina to want to, you know, just collapse in the slot. And then just the Rangers have the talent to make those cross ice passes. And then someone's ready to wire home. You know, Zibanejad's one timer in game one on the power play, cross crease pass to Vetrano on the power play in this game. You know, and then a great back and forth between Kopp and Strome in this, like, just right outside the slot. So it's just, yeah, the pieces are clicking just for the Rangers. So obviously it's, can they do this when Carolina's feeling good about themselves back at home? You know what I mean? Because now it's a best of three. And if you win this next game, you then get to go home against a team that has been unable to win, that has to overcome not just the winning the game, but to also overcome the mental ass hurdle of that. But it's the New York Rangers, so they're going to make it hard, more difficult for themselves, because, of course, that's just how they do things. So that's my fear, obviously.
Yeah, going into game five mentally, I don't know where I am. I guess, you know, as a soured Ranger fan of years past, you just kind of expect them to lose this game after, you know, they're maybe one of the better games of the playoffs, if not the best game of the playoffs so far for them. You can argue that game where they blew out Pittsburgh, that, you know, that was a pretty damn good game. But this one, certainly the best game of the series for them overall. I just was impressed with how they were able to show up, take control of the game. And although, you know, Carolina did their best, they weathered every single storm that was, you know, kind of thrown at them. And that's exactly what you got to do, especially with a 3-goal lead that they were, you know, so lucky to build up. Going into game five, Andy, I mentally feel like I am a little this is sick, because I'm a little confident, and that's I think where we're in trouble, is that I actually feel pretty good about this team. And, you know, I just want them to be competitive. I think that's, at the end of the day, I don't want a game two. I want them just to be competitive. If you lose a close game, you lose a close game. Just be competitive and show up. You know, I want effort from lines one through four. I want, you know, all the, you know, the D pairings to contribute, you know. You know, I really do think, you know, having Braun back there instead of Nemeth has been huge. I mean, the guy just kind of, you know, I know he's not playing a ton of minutes, but when he's out there, he just kind of does nothing. Like, nothing happens. And that's good. You know, that, you know, slows things down, gives us a break. You know, we need those compared to Carolina. You know, Carolina wants to keep that pace. You know, they want to keep those shifts and hemmed into your zone and kind of tire you out and create offensive chances. But the Rangers want the opposite. They want to frustrate that team. They want to, you know, throw the puck out, make their D turn and have to go get it. And then, you know, bring it back up the ice and clog up the middle. They got to dump it in and win those battles. You know, these are all the things that the better teams haven't had to do all season long. That's, you know, that's not what they're so used to, you know, being on top and being and playing with a lead and just winning games and kind of going through the motions, that you can catch these teams off guard. You know, I think that's what happened with Boston with them, is that, you know, they were not used to having to play a, you know, a physical style, a heavier game. And, you know, I think skill and their depth overtook Boston, but the Rangers are a different animal. And if the Rangers show up and they do the little things, throw the puck on net, especially on Raanta, he's a backup goalie at the end of the day. So you should be able to score goals. And that's what the Rangers are going to need to do. They're going to have to, you know, weather the first 5 minutes of that game five, because, you know, Carolina is going to be itching to come out. They just lost twice on the road. They're back home. They know how to win here. You know, the Rangers got to weather that storm. They got to compete, get the pucks in deep, bang their defensemen, and, you know, throw as many pucks on net. You know, there's fluky bounces everywhere, and this team is certainly capable of, you know, crashing the net and sneaking them past. And just, you know, look at the Zibanejad goal. Like, nothing fancy, just it's thrown on net, it squirts through, and Mika's there to hammer it home. Like, shit like that happens all the time in the playoffs, and that's what we're going to have to do. You know, Andy, I know we spoke last time about, you know, who we expect to kind of step up here. You know, if there's a bigger name that you wanted to see step up, Mika seems to be that guy right now. He's playing great. He's got the speed. He's got the legs right now to kind of carry that line. I'd like to see Kreider do a little bit more. I want him to kind of keep doing what he's doing, but I want more. You know, I want Kreider to keep banging bodies in the corner, creating turnovers and scooting up and down the ice. you know, Mika's doing well, and we needed a good game out of Cobb, and we got it, you know, where he has a 3-point night. That was huge. You know, did you think it was Panarin's best game so far of the series, at least?
I thought so, especially in the first period. I thought Panarin looked like the old Panarin. He was shaking guys off and juking them, and, you know, Slavin of all people. And so I was like, yeah, all right, finally, I see old bread. And then as the game went on, he kind of turned back into pumpkin Panarin we've seen recently. Although, you know, I mean, listen, and he still had chances. He had a breakaway chance in the third period when the Rangers were hemmed in, which is smart of him. But it's not even so much the offensive side, which I can live with. It's just when he's going back to defend, just soft on puck, soft plays, just trying to get a stick in to be a little disruptive as opposed to really just put pressure on a guy, and that's what I think is just an inability to kill, you know, or nullify some of the offensive pressure the Hurricanes are putting. You know what I mean? So it's just because when Panarin, the Panarin we've seen 2 years outside of this year, which although points wise, he was kind of right up, but just Panarin 5-on-5 was a beast in terms of just hound, like turnovers and winning battles with low center of gravity, just hounding the puck. He was a maniac. You know what I mean? Some of the best effort I've seen from a Ranger in his first 2 years here. It's just this year it was a little less so. And you just hope that's not a key of him slowly checking out as time goes on, as this goes forward. Because even, and listen, players like Panarin, or I'll say this, or even Nikita Kucherov, they're going to turn the puck over trying to do too much. It's just who they are. They're constantly looking to create. It's the beauty of what makes them some of the most dangerous players in the league. But, you know, Kucherov is on a mission right now, and you saw just some effort on his back checking in that elimination game versus the Panthers. You know what I mean? Just like he was going for it. And yes, yeah, so I still think Panarin's hurt, and that's going to play a huge part of it. And who knows? Maybe he's saving it. Maybe he saves it for the dagger that will event in game 7, which will put the Hurricanes away, much like in game 6, in game 7 against the Penguins. But yeah, it's just, I would obviously like to see a world where, or a game, we spoke about this last time, where both the Mika line and the Panarin line show up. So, but obviously, thank God, Andrew Kopp seems to be moving much better. So hopefully whatever was nagging him, even with the every other game, is just kind of slowly healing, you know, because he looked way better last night than he has, where he's looked kind of debilitated most of the time.
Yeah, we're going to need him. I mean, we need all these players. And, you know, this is the frustrating thing, is that, you know, the New York Rangers are so close, and you just feel like if they just played within themselves and, you know, got the game that you expect out of Panarin, that the Rangers would almost have no problem beating these teams. And it's just, you know, obviously that's not, you know, reality, and this is the playoffs and injuries happen, and you know, it sucks that the Rangers have so many of them, but, you know, here we are, it's 2-2, you can't ask for much more. You know, hopefully, you know, Panarin can kind of, you know, figure it out, and just, even if it's on the power play, just get a couple goals. You know, I you know, from what I saw last night and some of the highlights, he didn't seem a little bit more confident handling the puck on the power play. And hopefully that's a sign for, you know, better things to come, because if you have him and Fox feeling themselves on the power play, they're going to get really good scoring chances. And, you know, even Mika shooting the puck now, I think, you know, you can expect the Rangers to be deadly again on that power play, as long as, you know, those guys are feeling themselves. What else you got, Andy? I tell you, do you still kind of like look around the league and say, all right, there's only 7 teams now left and the Rangers are one of them? Because, you know, I see an elimination game between Calgary and Edmonton, kind of crazy. Elimination game between St. Louis and Colorado. That's kind of, you know, obviously to be expected, but, you know, that's kind of crazy. You know, here the Rangers are in the second round and they're in a series. And in a sense, I feel like the Rangers were probably, you know, the biggest underdog right now in all of the playoffs. Maybe yeah, them and St. Louis, only because St. Louis had to be matched up against Colorado.
Yeah, I mean, obviously unfortunate for them. The longer this series go on, I think Penguins fans are kicking themselves. I think Maple Leafs fans are kicking themselves. They thought they would have, if they had somehow made it past Tampa, they would have, you know, buzzsawed the Panthers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you can't do that though.
No, I know. It shoulda, coulda, woulda. Right. You know, yeah, I mean, listen. You know, obviously everyone should be afraid of Colorado because they're just a complete team. I mean, unfortunately for St. Louis, Bennington is now out for the series and Ville Husso is not playing his best. As we record this, my window's open and City of Gods, the New York Rangers, entrance song is playing in the background. That has to be a good sign. But yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, unfortunately, Bennington's out for the series and Husso, who had a great stint down the stretch for them, is turned back into the Ville Husso who lost his net or his depth place in the depth chart to Bennington anyway. McDavid is in, and I will say Evander Kane for that matter, in sicko mode right now. And with Dreisaitl, they're the best line in the playoffs right now. They're just they can win a series by themselves, which is great and all, but they have Mike Smith in net, which is an adventure. But hey, you know, they're up against a team that has Markstrom in net, who after having a good first round and everyone's like, oh, Markstrom, you know, hey, I don't understand all this Shesterkin love. Markstrom, look at Shesterkin struggling. Markstrom is clearly the better goal. Nope. He's been just as bad as Smith. So, and Shesterkin just been getting better. And hey, look, you know who also was not good in the first round until arguably the last game? Vasilevsky, who then had a flawless second round. And, you know, so, you know, the right players are trending in the right direction. So I would say, you know, but will Tampa get Braden Point back? Obviously, it's good they were able to get that series over with. The longer it goes on, the more likely he's to come back. So they might, maybe rust is a concern for them. But at the same time, if it meant just more rest to get back, you know, just for that team anyway, more rest, and they don't feel the need to rush him. And they obviously want the Rangers and Canes to go to seven because that gives the most maximum time to rest and then all the time for Braden Point to get healthy to come back. But that could sometimes bite you in the butt, though, you know, just not being too much rust. So we'll see. But yeah, none of the teams, maybe arguably other than the Hurricanes, are perfect left. Or excuse me, not the Hurricanes, the Avalanche. You know, there's, as good as some of these other teams have been, they all do have their flaws and or their Achilles heel or whatever you want to say. You know what I mean? So it's just, yeah, you just want it to be, if you're a Rangers fan, you just want it to be competitive because you just see the effect it's having on these players. And you know, we spoke about just establishing a new baseline for what is the minimum level of performance and effort out of this group. And going forward next time, if they don't win it this year, and I'll never say never, but if they don't win it this year, you know, next year, you need to have, much like a Tampa team that took a couple kicks at the can, including a first round sweep, you know, they took a step, two steps forward in two subsequent years and then took a step back getting bounced. Actually, because they made the playoffs, they missed the playoffs. They made the cup final, right? I'm trying to think of I'm thinking of the Rangers going to the cup final. So, did they got bounced in the first round the year the Rangers went to the cup final? Am I correct about that?
Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
I am not sure what Tampa did that year. From what you're speaking of, the year prior to the NHL lockout, that year they won the cup then, right? And they won the lockout.
Yeah, I'm just trying to. I'm really mostly speaking about the iteration of, their first year with Cooper was the year the Rangers went to the cup final. It was 13-14. They lost in the first round.
Okay.
The next year, they beat the Rangers, went to the cup final. The next year, they lost in the conference final. The next year, they missed the playoffs with Cooper. The next year, they went back to the conference finals and lost. Next year, they got swept by John Tortorella and the Columbus Blue Jackets and lost in the first round. Then they won the Stanley Cup. Then they won the Stanley Cup again, and now here we are. So with Stamkos and Cooper, they had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 kicks at the can before they finally put it together. And that was variancing from literally a loss in the first round, cup final, conference final, missed the playoffs, back to the conference final, get swept in the first round, 1-1. So it just goes to show that it's like you just need to get in that state, that because you just look at how businesslike they handled the Panthers. And it's just about, like anything else, I think it's about reps. And I will say, one of Turk's best qualities, we've been talking about it all year, is never too high, never too low. He downplays everything, makes guys feel good about themselves, and says, and even when they lose, he's like, we lost the game. I kind of like that we played, though, so it's all right. You know, and you're just like, well, they're going to, if they lose another one, they're going to get eliminated. But he never makes them feel that pressure. Because would you say pressure got to the Florida Panthers? I would say so. You know,
or yeah, pressure got to the going down 2-0 in the series. That certainly, I think, got to them, because it was like they got blitzed, and all of a sudden you're like, "What the fuck just happened? We're down 2-0, and then now they had to play it back to back for games 3 and 4, right?" And you know, it's just like, "What the hell just happened to us?" And you know, Florida is just not a team right now that's built to, maturity and confidence and. I should say experience is certainly not part of their success right now. That's not the ingredients right now of the Florida Panthers, where you could say the total opposite is of the, you know, the Tampa Bay Lightning. And, you know, a crazy stat, I think it was game 7 of the Maple Leafs game. It was like Tampa Bay only faced like 2 other elimination games in their, you know, back-to-back cups. And then this, you know, Stanley Cup run, it was like, they had 2 elimination games the last playoff series, none the year before. And, you know, this is their 3rd, I think, going into game 7. Like, they don't play elimination games. This team is like, they know how to handle their business in the playoffs. And it's kind of, you know, it's scary, but it's also cool to see what, you know, what that could be, you know, what can be of these teams. You know, when you get a good coach, you get a foundation of players, you get some veteran leadership, you get guys that kind of, you know, come out of nowhere. And Braden Point, even though I knew about that kid, I was the one drafting him in fantasy hockey in like the 4th or 5th round, because no one even knew who he was. It's just crazy. And you know, yeah, you want the Rangers eventually to get there, Andy, but here we are, though. We, you know, one day at a time here. We got game 5 tomorrow. Is there anything else you got, Andy?
No, I mean, I think we covered most of it. It's funny because usually this time of year with the Rangers out, I'm a little bit more like, oh, what's going on in the World Championships? What's going on with the draft? Like, who do I think is going to draft who? Let's look at what picks they have. I wonder who's going to move. I'm in a Rangers-centric bubble right now.
As am I.
Which is great. I love it, you know, because all these other teams, just the fact that just being in this position where, much like the regular season, you're like, the boys are still in it. They're still playing. We're still in the trenches. They're still that get. I feel sick to my stomach at 6:59, you know, every other day, because I'm like, oh God, they have to perform. But that's amazing. That pressure, what it's all about, because there's nothing better when they come through and they're playing good. Like, you know, they can, you know what I mean? So it's just been such a fun ride. I mean, it's been so stressful, but you can't have the high highs without the low lows sometimes. And I just think this team, this New York Rangers team, you know, their superpower is they can take a punch, man. You could beat them. They could just get their, you know, asses handed to them in a game for 59 minutes, but they can somehow weather the storm and just make the one play that can win them the game, you know? So, but obviously we have loftier expectations than that. And it just seemed that they're starting to raise their game and believe that they can do this. And, you know, this is to say, I mean, who's to say if they don't somehow make Barclay Goodrow started skating for the first time on his own today, you know, so which means, which is huge considering I think he was in like in a walking boot last week. So, and Sammy Blay's been skating. So you just don't know. I mean, if they can somehow make it through, then you're like, do we get those? Is it possible for one or both of those guys to come back? I mean, you just, especially if to a team that can maybe use it. And I love Revo, but, you know, maybe it's just having more options makes them more dangerous. And yeah, it just makes you think. But I don't want to put the cart before the horse. They have to. I would like to see them try to do more of what they've done so far in Carolina. Luckily, we are guaranteed another game at the Garden, which is nice and obviously beneficial for the Rangers, just, you know, and their fans, which is nice because worst case scenario, they get to say goodbye to their fans on home ice, where I think they deserve to, you know, for the season they've had. But yeah, I don't know. I don't get the sense they want to pack it in just yet and that their season's over. I don't think they want it to be over. And if I'm being honest, you know, I don't want it either. So, onward to Raleigh. You're listening to this Thursday morning. Game 5 is tonight. And the New York Rangers are going storm chasing.
Thank you for listening to the Broadway Boys podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Broadway Boys Pod. And please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, or thehockeypodcastnetwork.com.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.